Hi, I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Helly, and welcome to Growth in Progress, the podcast where we have open and honest conversations about things that aren't usually discussed, but that can help us all to grow.
In each episode, we spend some time catching up, and then we share a recommendation from something we've loved recently, whether that's a book, a TV show, an app, a recipe, or something else. And then we go on to discuss a topic that we feel is really relevant to right now. These are often the sorts of things that a lot of people might be thinking about, but aren't necessarily having the conversation about. So we want to open up that conversation. If you enjoyed this episode, please don't forget to hit subscribe on whichever platform you're listening on so that you don't miss an episode. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing well. I feel like I've not got much to report. Just been working, chilling, enjoying some sunshine, which has been nice. Yeah, not that exciting, but it's also feels really nice to not be on the go 24/7 like we were before. It's been nice to kind of slow down and get back into a bit more of a routine.
There's something so lovely about getting back into a routine, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It's even stupid things like I've missed taking like my morning vitamins and actually sitting down and doing my proper skincare routine, not just like throwing on my cream before going to bed because I can't deal with finding my skincare stuff in a hotel room and stupid stuff like that, which I know is such a first world problem, but
it's just nice, I think, when you've, especially when you've had that period of time when you've not had a routine, because obviously it was for like, what, how many weeks was it for you guys? Four?
Yeah, we were on the road for 4 weeks. Yeah,
that's a long time.
yeah we went on like a little you inspired us with your night out last week, and we went on a little date night at the weekend as well to
Mexican place. I was like, what night out? I don't go out.
You told us about your Saturday night out.
Yes, my free profiterole.
Yes, exactly that. I didn't get anything for free, but it was quite cheap and it was such good Mexican food. And I also, so they had like proper margaritas, like proper. I had a jalapeno margarita and Taylor had a chipotle margarita. Surprisingly, both very nice.
So it's basically a picante, isn't it?
That's a fancy word. I don't know, but maybe yes.
I love a picante. They're like the absolute best. It's similar to a spicy margarita. It might just be another name for a spicy margarita. I don't know. Is this place in Split?
Yes.
Or is it somewhere else?
It's in the city centre, yeah.
Can we please go when I come in 40... Actually, no, when this goes live, it'll be 24 hours till we're reunited.
I know, this is so exciting. I have my first visitor coming to Split, and it is the co-host of Growth in Progress.
I'm buzzing. I mean, last night when my new backpack arrived, because of the changes in EasyJet luggage allowance, I freaked out because it was the same size as a small child, like... It was tiny. I could literally fit one pair of jeans in it. And then I reread the size guide and it wasn't a 15 by 25 by 35. It was a 45 by 25 by 35.
So just the image of you turning up with a kid's backpack on your back.
Do you know what the worst part was? Is that I put it on my back and I was like, Helly's going to really laugh at me because I look like an absolute idiot. Like I looked... That and my cap on, I looked like an overgrown child. I looked like Tom Hanks in Big. Like, it was not a look. And it was that moment of realization. I was like, oh, I read that wrong.
Oh, my God. Well, at least you found that out now. A couple of days before, it's all good.
I know. Can you imagine if I'd realized when I got to the airport and someone was like, why is your bag so small?
Oh, my God. Amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. The adventures are starting already. But all I've been up to is basically planning to come to Split. And I'm so excited.
Which does mean, I think, that the next episode that goes out after this will be an in-person episode.
It will be.
We should probably factor recording that into our itinerary for when you're here.
Yes, maybe pre-Aperol Spritz. My only requests for coming to Split were that I get to drink Aperol Spritz, I see the terracotta roofs, because my God, have I missed terracotta roofs, and I see a palm tree. So
we can cover those for you.
I feel like that's quite, like, they're quite low-key requests.
Yeah, we've got it covered. Do you want to share your recommendation for this week?
Yes, so I have an app this week, and it is, I actually don't know if it's available on Android, but it is definitely available on iOS, and it's an affirmation app called I Am. And the reason I love this app is, I know we've spoken before about affirmations and like having a more positive mindset, and a lot of affirmations just don't resonate with me. I feel like we've said before how like a lot of them that are like, I love myself, are quite hard to relate to. And so it doesn't feel authentic, and it doesn't really have the impact you want it to have. Whereas what I really like about this app is that they're very realistic and like, I guess achievable affirmations, like they're very believable affirmations. So they don't feel cheesy and over the top and hard to relate to. So on iPhone, what you can do is have it as a widget on your home screen, which, side note, I just love the word widget. It just really makes me chuckle. But anyway, and so there's always, like, whenever I open my phone, there is a like positive affirmation like that just comes up, and it changes throughout the day. Like, and there's that, like, you can pay for one that gives you like endless affirmations, but just the free version has so many, and they have loads of ones about like self-love, money, success, happiness, relationships. Like, they cover so many that you definitely don't need to pay to have the paid version. And it's a very aesthetic app as well. And I think when you're focusing on kind of being more positive or like manifestation, it's helpful if it looks appealing and fits with like the life you want, if that makes sense. So you can pick like loads of different wallpapers and all that sort of thing, and you can set push notifications so that like throughout the day you get random prompts of affirmations. And I just think, like, whenever I've tried to do this sort of thing in the past, I've definitely found it quite hard. Like, I don't want to sit down and go onto Pinterest and Google 10 affirmations that are going to make me like myself or whatever, whereas this kind of just makes it a bit easier, and it's free, which we love.
So I think you've mentioned this app before, and I don't think it is available on Android because I wasn't able to find it, but I totally agree about kind of having those identifiable affirmations. And I use one on mine that's called Gratitude, and because I have an Android phone, and that's what made a massive difference for me with affirmations, because that exact thing of, they felt more relatable. So mine has ones like, and like you pick what's important to you as well, because they've got a whole bank of ones that are like to do with love or wealth or creativity or like relationships, whatever you want it to be. So some of mine are like, I'm in control of my day, my drive and ambition allow me to achieve my goals, allow my creative energy to flow freely at all times, like things that are more relevant to me. And I think it does make such a difference when, because I mean, I love the idea of affirmations, but I'm never going to be someone who stands in front of the mirror and is like, I love myself.
No,
I mean, I hope the affirmations will create that feeling for me without me having to say that to my face in a mirror or whatever.
And I think if you can't relate to the affirmations and they don't feel authentic to you, they're never going to have the impact anyway. So yeah, I've just been really enjoying using the app, and then maybe randomly throughout the day, or just like as I'm in bed in the evening and I'm winding down, because I have such a bad habit of picking up my phone when I'm in bed and falling into a bit of a scroll hole, that I was like, actually, if I'm using this app, because you swipe up in the same way that you would on Instagram or TikTok, even if I'm just mindlessly scrolling this, at least it's a more positive impact than like some random TikTok.
Yeah, definitely.
What's your recommendation?
So I've been on a bit of a Disney hype for this last week. And I mean, they're not like revelations or anything. I watched Encanto. Have you seen it yet?
I haven't, but I'm really keen to see it.
So this is, I don't know if this is going to blow your mind as much as it blew my mind, but the main character is voiced by the woman from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Stephanie Beatriz.
I did know this, yeah.
Her voice is incredible. That's not even my recommendation. That was just the first thing that I watched on Disney this week that I absolutely love.
I didn't realise until I saw her in Modern Family what her voice was actually like. And I was like, whoa, Rosa sounds different.
It's crazy. Rosa, that's her name. But yeah, absolutely blew my mind. But then my actual recommendation is, I also watched Turning Red, which is the latest Pixar animation.
Oh, I want to see this. It's got a little red panda in it, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really cute, really funny. A couple of my friends had also recommended it as well. And they're Asian, they have Asian parents, and they had said that a lot of it was very identifiable. But in general, it's a coming of age story that I think is really identifiable for a lot of girls that kind of trying to navigate adolescence and wanting to be dutiful to her parents. I mean, there's these fantasy and comedy elements, and there's a lot that kind of alludes to like girls starting their first period and things like that, and like kind of having a crush on the boy at school and all of those sort of things. But it's done in a really interesting, really funny way, and there's these fantasy elements and this cute red panda as well. And I really enjoyed it, and Taylor watched it as well and really enjoyed it, which I think says a lot. And I always think it's really interesting as well that kind of how Disney and Pixar managed to address these bigger themes in a way that create a really fun story. And I had never had an appreciation for those kind of underlying themes. Obviously, when I was a kid, you just watched it and enjoyed it for the movie that it was. But then now, when you're an adult and you're like, oh God, that's so clever. Like, what an interesting way to like address that. So the young girl is Mei Li, and she's growing up in Toronto, but her family own and run the oldest temple that's in the city. So it's also a tourist attraction. So she's kind of trying to reconcile her life of wanting to be a teenage girl and going to see her favorite band with helping her parents to run the temple and be dutiful to their elders and her family's beliefs and her culture. Yeah, really recommend if you've got Disney Plus. It's fantastic, easy watch for adults and kids.
It sounds really lovely. And also, I just love red pandas. Like, growing up, so I was fascinated by red pandas, which is just the most me thing ever, isn't it? But I'll add it to the list. It sounds like a nice Sunday afternoon watch.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
Oh, cute. So this week, we wanted to have a conversation about happiness and ambition, and specifically whether being happy and happiness generally kills ambition. Our culture is one that really places the emphasis on careers and the side hustle and working hard and being ambitious pretty much above most other things. And being ambitious is seen as being such a good thing. But if you're constantly aiming to be more of anything, whether it's more successful at work or earn more money, whatever it is, can you ever really be happy? And actually, if you reach that point of happiness, does it mean you'll no longer have ambition?
Yeah, I feel like there's a real like internal, external kind of war between these two things, because like you said, like ambition and success and progression is put on this pedestal. I mean, we spoke about it a couple of weeks ago, and like the fear of going backwards or stalling. And I think if you're always striving for forwards progression and your ambition is really driving you, like, how can you reconcile finding contentment with being ambitious human beings? Because so much of ambition is external. It's that external validation. It's the next pay rise. It's the next promotion. It is that moving forward. And happiness feel like it mostly comes from within. Obviously, things around you can make you happy, but happiness is a feeling. So how can you kind of reconcile those two things if you are like an ambitious human being? And obviously not everyone has the same level of ambition at all, which is also totally fine. But I think especially because we're like the age we're at now, I feel like I'm more aware of that sort of balance between finding happiness, but also wanting to keep moving forward and progressing as well.
Definitely. And I think how we define happiness, and we've spoken about this before, but like how we define happiness will obviously change throughout our lives. And the things that we want to go after and what our ambitions are in life will also change. And there's always that temptation, and I think this happens so much online, that the grass is greener. Like, whether that's that if you're in a corporate job, oh, being self-employed would be better, and vice versa. Or if you just buy a house and you're like, right, I'm really settled where I am, and you're really happy about that, and then you see someone who's just sold their house and gone traveling the world, it's like, oh, actually that would be better. And all the time you're looking for happiness as an external factor, I think it's much harder to stay in the moment and not just be looking for the next thing. So I think you can have both things at the same time. It's just how you balance it.
Oh, I totally agree. Like, it's not that there's, it's not like a dichotomy. They're not mutually exclusive. But I think especially the whole side hustle culture that we're fed online and like work harder, not smarter, but no, work smarter, not harder, all of that kind of thing. I think that kind of narrative would have you believe that happiness is in the next promotion, or it's reaching the next goal, or it's earning a certain amount of money in 20 years time or whatever. And like, we really need to get rid of that grass is always greener mentality, because exactly like you said, you'll always see someone else's experience and think that, oh, maybe I should be doing that. Maybe that's what will make me happier. And like, I really think maybe we're seeing happiness as the wrong thing. Like, happiness is seen as an end goal. And I don't think it isn't at all. Like, ambition doesn't end when we get somewhere. There's always going to be something else to think about. There's always going to be the next step. And in the same way, happiness isn't an end goal either. And that's why I think you can have both of them alongside each other and make them work together and almost kind of bounce off each other in creating the life that you want to live.
I really agree. I think we need to get away from this idea that they're both like things, and actually happiness is a mood. Like, even if you're generally happy with your life, you might not feel happy every minute of every day because it is a mood like any other emotion. Whereas ambition is more of a trait. Like, you have ambition, you are ambitious, and that can obviously be displayed in so many different ways. And I think when you realize they're not mutually exclusive, and actually happiness can benefit ambition, it's really powerful. Like, I've been reading a lot recently, and one of the things that keeps coming up specifically with Stephen Bartlett from Diary of a CEO. I keep seeing him share this one quote that's like, if you're practicing gratitude and you're happy with what you always have, then you'll always have enough, and you'll like move on to the next thing. Whereas if you're constantly in a mindset of I don't have enough, you'll never feel like you have enough. So actually the process of practicing gratitude and being happy in the moment can empower you to focus more on what you're going to do next, rather than keeping you stuck in the place you are. Because if you're constantly focusing on what you don't have and what you're lacking, you're staying where you are. Like, you can't move forward. Does that make sense? I really butchered the quote, but does that kind of make sense?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think it does go back to that whole like internal, external thing. And I do think too many people connect happiness with like external validation and external results. But I don't know, I feel like it's really important to identify what happiness is within you. Like, we just think, happy, it's happiness is like a smiling person. Well, no, because happiness, like you said, it's a feeling, and it can present in so many different ways. Like, it could be happiness to you could be health, it could be like thriving, it could be having consistency in your life, it could be like a feeling of abundance. Like, all of those positive feelings, I think if you can find and put words to them, we kind of forget that there's more to happiness than just a smiling face. And like, on the back of that quote from Stephen Bartlett, there's also nothing wrong with relishing in happiness. Like, if you find happiness in your life, it's not like, oh, well, I'll stay here in happiness for an hour and then I'll move on to my next ambitious goal. Like, you can stay as long as you want. Like, there's maybe that's a day off work with your partner where you're feeling really happy, or maybe you've established a really positive work-life balance and you don't want a promotion because your life is feeling really full and really happy as it is. So you're not going to seek out another, like, a promotion or a job change for a couple of years. Like, you don't need to be chasing the next thing when you can just relish and pause in the, like, the happiness or the fulfillment that you're feeling.
And I think there's something to be said as well for finding happiness in the smaller moments and embracing that kind of contentment and using it to rest slightly. Like, constantly being in that state of chasing the next thing is exhausting. And it means you don't really enjoy anything. And at the end of the day, it sounds really cheesy, but the journey is the bit you enjoy. Sure, it might be nice one day you walk into the gym and you can, I don't know, bench press 100 kilos, but the actual enjoyment you'll have got is the process from first, like just practicing the movement and then bench pressing a kilo. Like the joy won't come when you hit 100 kilos, it's going to come in that process. And actually finding those little pockets of happiness every day, I think, is a much more achievable way to live as well. I think we kind of prize happiness as this end goal, this thing we will get, like this nirvana. And then when we don't feel it constantly, we feel like we failed. But you don't feel anything constantly. Like you don't feel sad, hopefully, constantly. Like you don't feel angry constantly. It's like any other emotion. You feel it for like smaller pockets of time. So, and there's definitely room to find happiness. Like maybe it's in your morning routine and when you're sitting in bed drinking your coffee in the morning, and you can be really happy in that moment, but you can still be like, right, what am I going to get up and do today? Because I have this other thing I want to achieve. And that's perfectly fine. And actually I'd argue that's more healthy than just pursuing other things.
Yeah. And I think it's really, that's really true about that, like the journey being where you get a lot of the fulfillment from. Because I always think there probably is one of my like biggest fears in life, that the whole, like how society has built this structure that we work like our whole lives, 9 to 5 or whatever it is. And then like we work so that then we can retire at 65, 70, and then we can use all of that money that we worked hard for to have this wonderful retirement. But I always think, well, one, what if you don't get there? What if you spend your whole life working towards this thing and then, I don't know, you, something happens to you and you don't ever get there? But also two, like if you've worked your socks off for your entire life and you hit 70 years old and you're ready to enjoy happiness, are you going to have any relationships, any structures, any things that you've built in those 50 years that is going to fulfill you? Like, is like that's like the epitome of ambition, isn't it? Work hard your whole life so then you can have this great retirement. But if you've not done anything to fulfill yourself during those years of work, what's actually left at the end? I know that's a really like depressing thought, but
no, I think it's true. Like it's not guaranteed to any of us. Like I must say this several times a week to people, I really do wholeheartedly believe aging is a privilege that we don't all get. And if your entire time is spent pursuing something else for something that is not guaranteed, I just think that's kind of sad. Like we need to live in the moment a bit. And it doesn't mean that you have to like stop and not have any ambition, and you shouldn't plan for the future, and you shouldn't like go after bigger things. It just means there's got to be a better balance. Like you can aim to get a promotion at work but still enjoy where you are in your job at the moment and be grateful for where you are. You can, you know, have the ambition to have a bigger house and own your own home and do whatever, but you can also be grateful and happy with like the place you're living now, and I don't know, like all the things you have right now. And I think that's really important. Like you've got to build a life where you can say, I love my life and I'm happy most of the time, or I can find happiness within my life. And then it almost means that when you're going after the bigger things and when you're pursuing your ambitions, when it doesn't go right and when it's difficult and when you face adversity, which everyone does when they're going for something really big, at the end of it you can take a moment and go, okay, but what do I have? And you can almost use that happiness in the and that contentment in the everyday as refuge from the challenges of hitting your ambitions.
Yeah, I think it's really important to like lean into those parts of your life that you enjoy the most for those exact moments when things are, like if you're constantly focused externally on the next goal, the next validation, the next reward, you're going to find it harder to identify those internal feelings of happiness because you're always looking for the external validation. So I think if you can identify those small pockets of happiness in your day, you should really lean into them. It's just reminded me of, there's an episode of the 10% Happier podcast, which I love. Some of the episodes are really long, but it's worth a listen. And I think it's the actual host, and he said he was raised, his dad, I don't know, did some big like corporate job, I think. And his dad always used to say, the price of security is insecurity. And he was like, that idea really messed me up, that basically to be successful, you need to like plan and plot and have ambition and stretch yourself, because that will get you financial success. And then that will give you security. But he was saying what actually happens is you can stretch yourself too far. You're permanently stressed. You're permanently worried about hitting a certain financial goal or like material goal, whatever it might be. And that's your attempt to find happiness, but you can't ever get there because you're in a permanent like stretch state. And what happens when you stretch yourself when you stretch something permanently, it snaps. Like it's not actually a healthy state to be in.
And it's not an enjoyable state to be in.
No, not at all.
I know it sounds a bit like abstract and a bit kind of like, I don't know, cheesy, but if we're not finding enjoyment and contentment and happiness, what's the point? And I know that like you can't feel that all the time. Like obviously there are going to be times when things are really hard and really challenging and you kind of think, Jesus Christ, like why me, this is so unfair. And that's completely normal. And like obviously on the like journey to get to where you want to be, it's not always going to be smooth sailing. But that's why I think realizing that embracing the happiness and gratitude for what you have already is so important, because that helps to ground you. Like it can revitalize you when you're struggling with your ambition. Because if you're a very ambitious person, you want to reach certain goals, but you're also not embracing what you have, when those challenges come along, you're just not, how do you recharge? How do you get up and keep going again, because you have nothing in the tank?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point. I think if you can use your happiness, those moments of happiness, those internal feelings as your like as a motivator for your ambition, I think that's a really healthy place to be. Because if you're, I mean, again, we spoke about it in the fear of going backwards episode, but if your motivator for ambition is fear of stagnating, it's really hard to enjoy those small moments and find those small things in life that make you happy. Whereas if your ambition is motivated by your awareness of what your goals are, because those things make you happy, then the two are coexisting together, rather than you permanently running from the fear of stagnation or whatever it might be. I think there's a happy medium for them to coexist. And of course that also means your ambitions can change as well. Like your ambitions now probably look very different from what they did 10 years ago.
Oh, for sure. And they'll look different to how they look in a few years' time as well. And that's really healthy. Mm-hmm. And that's really important.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I imagine that this is what happens to a lot of people. Obviously, I'm not a parent, but I'd imagine becoming a parent, your ambitions change there a lot. And that is so linked to your happiness. Mm-hmm. Like perhaps your ambition changes from career aspirations to wanting to find a work-life balance so you can spend more time with your family. Like that's still an ambition. Yeah. Ambition doesn't have to be all about like progress forward at work and owning a house and like those more material things. It can be creating that like balance in your life between what you enjoy doing.
I completely agree. We really hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have any thoughts on this topic, we would love to hear them. So please get in touch with the show notes below. Next week, we're going to be discussing women and money. And we would love to get your thoughts on this topic. It's something we're both really excited to discuss. So please do get in touch with any thoughts you have on our Instagram page or on our email address in the show notes.
In the meantime, we hope you have a great week. Stay safe and we will speak to you soon. Bye.
Bye.